Hi, fun seekers. Welcome to another edition of the Christ is All podcast. Now, if you are new to the podcast, I need to give a preface to what you are about to hear. This podcast has over 200 episodes. Most of the episodes contain conference messages that have been recorded, interviews that I've had on radio and other podcasts, monologues, music, and then there are the kind of episodes that are appreciated by those of you who have a funny bone, meaning they fit into the category of the five-letter word that should be in the parenthesis of the title of this show. And there are a number of those kinds of episodes. And if you do have a sense of humor, I would encourage you to go ahead and listen to all of the others of this type. If you don't, then you may want to just skip this and listen to all the other episodes that do not have the five-letter word in parenthesis in the title, and enjoy all of the serious episodes that have come before and that will come after. Now, in this episode, I am breaking custom by giving the platform, handing the microphone, so to speak, off to a preacher. This is a man who deems himself to be a New Testament scholar and a Pauline expert, that is, an expert in Paul of Tarsus and his life. He graduated from Sweetbriar College in Virginia. He is currently the pastor of a small church in Cedar Key, Florida, and his name is Biff Wellington. Because I want my listening audience to understand that not everyone reads the New Testament the same way. Pastor Wellington stood up in his pulpit in his little church in Cedar Key, and the message was entitled, The Things That Paul Did. The Bad Things, the Good Things, and Just the Things. He recorded his message, and he sent it to me, and he said, Frank, I really want you to air this on one of your podcasts. Well, it didn't fit the Insurgents podcast, and it doesn't really fit this one, but in the spirit of the other episodes that I have dropped on this podcast that have the five-letter word in parenthesis in the title, I decided to go ahead and introduce you to Pastor Biff Wellington and his talk on Paul. Now, he did say that before he was wrapping up, which was just a review of the points he made, the recorder stopped. But we have the whole message. It's just that the summarizing conclusion did not get captured on the recording. I think that it will probably be unlike anything you've ever heard in your life. So with no further introduction, here is Pastor Biff Wellington and his sermon on Paul.
Paul did some bad things. Paul did some good things. And then Paul did some things. And the things are just things, you know, like everyday things that, you know, real practical and that don't matter, not good or bad, just like, so let's start right in with the bad. Paul did some bad things, and nothing to be ashamed of, but what did Paul do that was bad? Well, first Paul had an argument, and he argued. See, there's this guy he didn't really like, Mark. Mark was the guy that went with him on his trips, his preaching trips. And he's kind of a mama's boy, I think. That's what I think Paul thought about him. So then one time they were talking about what kind of a guy he was, mama's boy, if you will. And then they got in an argument, and then Barabbas got into it, and they all three all argued and everything. And I don't know if they fought or what, but they got in an argument. So Paul had an argument, and then that was bad. Number one, he had an argument. So number two, what did Paul do that was bad? Well, Paul got stoned. And I know some of you people, well, I just learned it from TV. I don't hang around that crowd, but motorcycle gangs. But I know that stone means intoxicated. Stone means intoxicated. So he got stoned thrice. But the way I look at it, see, is that's not bad for your whole time that you're alive here on Earth three times. And it probably, and I don't think it was a marijuana trip. I don't think it was. I think it was probably alcohol. Because if you look real close in the Bible, not just one verse, but look at all the verses in the Bible, then eventually you'll see this verse. And you know what? Paul offered Timothy some alcohol. And I don't know if Timothy took it or not, but Paul did offer him some alcohol. He said it was for his tummy. That goes back to the milk and the meat, you know. Those that are nodding your heads and agreeing with me are probably on the meat of the word. And then those that are shaking your head and disagreeing, you're probably not yet on the meat. You're probably on the milk of the word and not understanding this. That's, well, that kind of goes back to why I'm up here, and you're down there gleaning from me. So Paul did some bad things. He argued, and then he got drunk, maybe. We're not sure. But, okay, so that takes care of that category. So Paul did some good things. We can't just mar his reputation. He did some good things. And what did he do that was good? Well, he didn't like denominations. You say, preacher, where do you get that? I'll tell you where I get that is in 1 Corinthians 1. And so there are some people there, and he said their people were saying, I'm of Cleo or Cletus or somebody, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul. And so they're getting a little gruesome, and Paul said that was bad. And that was good that he said that was bad. Number one, he didn't like denominations. And you look around you and take a good gander at the world we live in. I'm ashamed to call myself a human being sometimes. We have a lot of denominations. Just Latter-day Saints, and Seventh-day Adventists, and Free Will Baptists, and of course the old standbys, the Catholics. But so there's a lot of denominations, and Paul says, I don't like them. And he said furthermore, that was he crucified for you? And of course, that's what we in the college circles call a rhetorical question. The answer is no. So you might just say no. So was he crucified for you? No. Was it? And we might say, was any Latter Day Saint crucified for you? No. Was Roger Miller crucified for you? No. Well, Roger Miller, not the singer, but the guy that started the Baptist Church. Was he crucified for you? No. Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, William? Was that his name? William Miller? No, you're shaking your head. Now, I don't think that's right. I think William Miller might be a singer. I don't know. I think it was Roger Miller, what I said the first time. But anyway, was he crucified for you? No. So number one is Paul didn't like denominations, and that's good. So what else, you know, was good about Paul? Well, we can read in the Bible that Paul got baptized, and that's good. And I have here, let's just open the Word to, I have 1 Chronicles 1. 15 and 16. Okay, 1 Chronicles. Okay, got the right book. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 1:16. That's what I have. It's just Arvidite and the Zemarite and the Hamathite. When I was turning over there, I didn't think that was right because, Paul's in the New Testament, and in First Chronicles, he's in the Old Testament. But lucky for me that I do have some training, you know, in recall. In college, we studied things like that when I was getting my degree, AA degree. But and I think I can quote the scriptures. So Paul got meditation. I think he says something to the neighborhood of, "For I'm thankful to God that I was baptized in none other than the house of Stephanie." That's it. I'm thankful to God that I was baptized in none other than the house of Stephanie. And so we see from the scriptures, gleaning from the scriptures, that Paul was baptized in them. So that's good. And so, number one, what? Didn't like denominations. Number two, what? Got baptized. So that takes care of that category. And then the other category that just, you know, is every day he did some things. Well, like what? Well, number one, buffeted his body. 1 Corinthians 9. And he said he buffeted his body. And, of course, the scholars and people and my colleagues and all in the religious circles of discussion, maybe some in the halls of ivory, are trying to discuss this and find out what it means, I buffet my body. And of course we got out all the Bible study aids, and I might name them off. It'd be good to look up the exact word buffet, and you can find that in a Strong Analytical Concordance every time you find it. If you don't have that big one strong, then just get the crude concordance. It's kind of small, it's just kind of crude. And then when you find it, then you might want to look into the Vine's Explosive Dictionary, and it'll tell you in detail what it is, the buffet. And, of course, you may use the name Tropical Bible. And in that case, you just look under buffet. And some of you like me that have been to college and are, well, somewhat educated, and have AA degrees or higher, might go ahead and get or it has a Greek and the English there together. It's kind of a book, the Greek Interliner, and then you look right under buffet, and has the Greek word, and you take that Greek word and you go look it up in a Lexington book. But so we, all the scholars and, of course, me, have studied this, I buffet my body, and I'm, right now we all differ a little, and I'm toying with this idea, and I'll just toss it out for you, and you do what you will with it, and get back to me, you know, especially those of you that are nodding your head on the meat of the word. And but you know what I think it means? I think it means this. Now follow me. You're going to have to follow me. Those times were bad. Okay? I mean, they were barbaric. See, it's not like today where we're civilized. It was barbaric then, and those people were some rough hombres, if you will. Hombres means men. But, some, I bet, were cannibals. That eat people. And so, you know, buffet, think about it, cannibal. You know what I think? I think that Paul was buffeting his body for food. He was, because of cannibals and all, and they're barbaric, and he probably knew that they might eat him anyway. But and he, besides, he said, "I've become all things to all men," and cannibals are men. And so, of course, I just throw that out with you. Some of my colleagues and I, we all are trying to learn this. And when we do get settled on something that makes good sense, maybe the cannibal, or what I call the cannibal theory, then we'll report back, as it were, and see if we can help out a little on this. So Paul buffeted his body, and then, so number one, what, did I say number one? Yeah, I mean, I know I did when I was talking about the good things that he did and the bad things, but I mean, just now, did I say number one, buffet his body? Or, okay, so number one, he buffeted his body, and that was good. Number two, what did he do every day? Well, I'll tell you something he didn't, and we might think of doing it. Paul changed his name. Paul changed his name. Sure did. And his name, see, it used to be Saul. And when he got baptized, he says, I'm going to be called Paul. And Paul, Saul, it kind of sounds the same, you know, and I like it. And besides, I won't have to be named after a bad king. How many people do you know named Saul, huh? Let me see your hands. Not many. Not any. And I don't know anybody personally named Saul. And so he changed his name. And I think, as a little child playing in the streets, somebody might say, there goes Saul, the king. You know, make fun a little bit, and it might embarrass him. But so he changed it. But not all people change their names in the Bible. Cornelius didn't change his name. So what did Paul do? Number one, he buffeted his body. And then number two, he changed his name. Just everyday occurrences. And so number three, what did he do every day that was, you know, not good or bad? He exercised. He ran a race for celery. Running for celery. Kind of like a walkathon where you walk for maybe money or something. But so a friend of mine is a barber, and he cuts hair. There is a man that comes in, and he's a scholar, has been to college, and me, and so I kind of relate to this, and I'll share it with you. But it says that's like the Olympics, that Paul ran celery for the Olympics. I guess he's in real good shape. But so, and he didn't cheat, because he says he didn't want to be disqualified by beating air.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.